Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart. We are in a series right now in the book of Acts, and we are looking at Acts chapter 8. So as you turn your Bibles, Acts chapter 8, we're going to be starting in verse number 26. So let me ask you to please follow as I read in verse number 26. I'll go down to verse number 30, pray, and then get right into the text together. Acts chapter 8, please follow, verse number 26. Acts 8, 26. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. He had the charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem for a worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran there to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, Understandest thou what thou readest? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, do we praise you for the worship that we can give unto you, even now as we pray together and knit our hearts in worship and prayer. Lord, thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for the worship we can render unto you in the singing we have just done and praising your name because you are well worth being praised. We adore you. And we praise you since we've been redeemed, knowing that Jesus saves, and we can truly proclaim it is wonderful to be a Christian. And Lord, I would pray that as we now worship you in the not just the reading of the scriptures, not just the preaching of the scriptures, not just the explanation of the scriptures, but yea, Lord, the reception into our hearts of the scriptures. And the putting it into practice in our everyday living. And Lord, that may mean someone sitting here or listening through the live stream who has not yet become a Christian. They have not been born again. They've not been able to sing since they've been redeemed. Oh, I pray that today would be the day, their hearts being open, receptive, and the Spirit of God's working and bringing them to faith in Christ, repentance from sin, and knowing Jesus as Savior. Maybe there are believers here too, Lord, that maybe the practical application of this passage may mean just being more courageous, confident, compassionate in sharing the good news. May mean being more sensitive to the Spirit of God's working and directing. It may mean being baptized. It may mean just being submissive to your will. There's a whole lot in here, Lord. So I pray that you would help me as I preach to truly preach, thus saith the Lord. And help each one to listen as thus saith the Lord. And we do ask that we would continue to enjoy the freedoms to do this. So as Seamus prayed for the upcoming administration, the outgoing administration, we pray for all those in governmental positions all across this country, that they would recognize that they are in place, according to your word, to minister for you and to do the best for the people. So I pray that they would have that in mind. And those who cannot because they're not yet saved, Lord, would you save their souls and give them life everlasting? So we commit all this to you, praying it in Jesus' name. Amen. So over the last few weeks of this particular series, Philip has been really the main focus of attention. And he's been the main character in this whole book study. And as before, we see Philip proclaiming the gospel message of salvation. As he went down to Samaria, you can see he goes from Jerusalem. Being down is not meaning north. It just means the higher elevation to the lower elevation. And he went into the region of Samaria, went to a city. And as he did, he proclaimed Jesus Christ. And people got saved. We just read and saw last week where Simon the sorcerer actually wanted to have a real part in this. And then Peter and John came up and they looked at what was happening. And then verse number 25, it says, you know, after they left, they went throughout the region of Samaria preaching and teaching the scriptures. But what happens to Philip? Well, he had just basically evangelized the whole city, presented them with the hope of salvation. Now he's going to do the same, except to one person. One person. It's no wonder he's called the evangelist in chapter 21, verse 8. By the way, the evangelist is the one who bears the good news. And the good news is Jesus saves, which we have just sung. So what we're going to learn from this episode here in the life of Philip and the early church is we need to seize every opportunity to witness, to evangelize, to be a Philip. Well, how can that be done? I think as we see two particular portions of this passage in relation to Philip, it would encourage you to be able to know that you, like Philip, can do the same thing. Because like Philip, he was a man who was a sinner saved by grace. He had no supernatural spiritual endowment upon him. But he was one who was open to and yielded to the Spirit of God's working, and he was a mouthpiece for the Lord, which you can do as well. So as you look around the auditorium or this sanctuary this morning and you consider your age, that doesn't really matter. How long you've been saved, that doesn't really have a part. What has a part is what you will see in Philip, some of the characteristics here, and I pray that they would be found in all of us. So let's look. Number one, Philip is sent to share the gospel. We find that in a passage I just read. And what we see here, just three points to be made here. One, he is sensitive to the Lord's direction. Sensitive. You see in verse number 26, where the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise, go to the south. The word speak is in reference to an audible declaration. He verbally heard, or he heard verbal communication coming from this messenger from heaven. And, you know, this is interesting because here, Philip, he's already a servant in ministry. He's already engaged in carrying out what is known as the Great Commission. And he's gone into Samaria, where in Acts chapter 1, we're taught and told, but the Spirit shall come upon you. You shall receive power. You'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in Samaria, all Judea. Well, he's carrying out this Great Commission, just like Jesus said. But the angel, you know, he could have summoned Peter or John. Remember, we saw them last week, and they're referenced there in verse number 25. He could have called them and told them to go. Matter of fact, when you think about this for a moment, just stop and think about yourself. There may be a time and a place where God may put you in a position to talk to witness to someone, because that's who he has designated. It's like a divine appointment. And we could pull a Moses. Lord, send somebody else. I'm not eloquent. But no, God knows what he's doing. And for Philip here, he has to be sensitive to the message that is brought unto him, to the word that is shared, and to this declaration. I don't know exactly. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly how, whether it was in a vision or a dream or the angel stood right next to him. We don't know. All we know is this heavenly messenger comes and gives him certain commands. And what does he do? Arise, go to Gaza. By the way, the verb here for arise, it's in a tense of urgency. It is not just, hey, think about it, or if you would like to, or like a suggestion. No, this is a direct order, like a command. And it has an urgency, like arise now. And go, the same tense, same mood of the verb, same identical structure. And it's like, go now. And the command carries with it the idea of leave this location en route to, in traveling to another location. Gaza. That's been in the news a lot, right? Gaza?
Well, the Gaza area is on that western side. You can see it on the map. And it is where the old Philistine territories were. The old Philistine territories had five major cities. Gaza was one of them. This is about maybe 20 miles away. And the angel says, get up, go now down towards Gaza. Now, it's interesting as well. He doesn't have specific identification. He can't pull out his GPS and say, okay, here's where I'm going. And how does he travel? Probably on foot. So the angel is asking him, not asking him, but directing him to leave a highly successful ministry where you are, leave a group of people you've probably built relationships and developed into some level of communion with them, fellow believers in Christ, and the angel says, arise and go. May I ask you a question? If God Almighty is directing you to do something very similar, are you listening? Are you attentive? Even more, are you sensitive? So when God speaks, you're listening. Remember the old E.F. Hutton commercials on television? I'm going back a long time. And some of you are shaking your head and saying, I have no clue. Well, he was a broker. He was a manager of funds, and he was an investor and all these other things. He was a financial advisor. And what was his declaration in the commercial? When E.F. Hutton speaks, and all of a sudden, the commercial stopped and everybody's attention focused to the person who just said, when E.F. Hutton speaks, and it was like dead silence. They wanted to hear what E.F. Hutton said. And then it finished off by saying, people listen. When God speaks, we need to listen. And that's exactly what happens here, which leads me to the second point. You see, not only is he sensitive to the Lord's direction, but now he becomes observant to the surroundings, specifically the Ethiopian situation. Because we pick it up and you can see here in verse number 27, and it says, I love this, he arose and went. Now, the scripture doesn't say anything other than that he got up and went. Now, what the tense of the verbs indicate that this is something that was not with hesitation. It was not with reservation. It was not with questioning. There was no delay. And even though he had a successful ministry in Samaria, he willingly goes. It manifests a submissive will to his master's authority and to his Lord's direction. Again, how submissive are we to what the Lord is directing us to do? Because there may be someone this week, the Lord may put into your path. You may not even be praying for an opportunity. The Lord may put that person into your path and may tell you, share Christ with this person. Go proclaim the good news. So as Philip goes, he's walking, and he comes upon, and he says here, behold, he beheld. He considered, by the way, the word behold, it's more than simply some physical sight, but it's a processing and a discerning of what is in front of him. It's not just a glance. He looks and he sees specifically there is an Ethiopian eunuch. He's in a chariot. And what happens next? The Spirit of God speaks to him. Look at what we find in verse number 28. Some of the information there is probably what he learned about him in the conversation, that he was an Ethiopian eunuch under the authority of the Candace, the queen, and he had charge of her treasury. He probably learned all that. But he was returning from worship, and he was reading Isaiah. Look at verse 29. The Spirit said unto Philip. Boy, I tell you what, don't you love how God directs, guides, leads? It's not like Philip has to figure this all out on his own. It's not like he's searching for the cure of a mystery. It's not like follow these little breadcrumbs and you'll get to the end result. No, the heavenly messenger says, arise, go down towards Gaza. That's a pretty generic description. And he does, and he's obedient. Now catch this for a moment. While he is obedient to what was directed to him in his command from the heavenly messenger, he is now going to be given further instruction. If he wouldn't have gone, he wouldn't be here to be able to meet the Ethiopian eunuch. If he wouldn't have obeyed and he wouldn't have submitted, an Ethiopian eunuch would be still lost in his sin, and who else would come along? Somebody else could have. But God had specifically Philip coming to this Ethiopian eunuch. And the Spirit says, you can see the words again, go near, join yourself to his chariot. Again, the verb tenses. This is not just a suggestion. Because Philip sees him, and I don't know who else might have been traveling on this road. This is one of the major thoroughfares to go down to Egypt. And as he does, the Lord says, go up, join to the chariot. And how does he respond? He doesn't look and say, this guy's a foreigner. This guy's from Ethiopia. Different color skin. He's got this entourage because a man of this stature probably didn't travel alone. He didn't ask all that, and he could have. He said, Lord, send somebody else, please. I've come down, but no, this is a little bit too much. Lord, are you telling me? Do you want me? Well, you're the only one standing here, so you're the only one being told. And look at his responses. Verse 30. And Philip ran there to meet him. Now, I don't know what this Ethiopian eunuch must have thought. But all of a sudden, he's reading. He's sitting in his chariot, and he's reading the Isaiah scroll. And here comes running unto him this individual. And I don't know if his bodyguards, his entourage were like, hold on. But he comes up. In obedience. Now, the Lord didn't tell him to run, but he knew the urgency. And he came up to him. He joins himself to the chariot. And he hears him reading the prophet. By the way, when you look at this, what is he reading? Again, the previous slide shows you he's reading the Isaiah scroll. Do you ever hear anybody just reading scripture? By the way, this is a common thing for people to do. They read out loud. They read out loud. You ever come upon somebody who just happens to be reading something? I told you the little story when we were flying back from, I forget where we were. I don't know if I was coming back by, I was coming back by myself from Missy out in Denver. And I'm in the Denver airport. I'm reading my Bible. And somebody came up to me. What are you reading? My Bible. And they were kind of struck. Boy, did that lead into a great conversation, regardless of the fact that I'm a pastor. I'm reading. I've done that to other people. I may be, you know, just coming across, whether it's at some most times flying or airports or stuff, and they're reading. They ask you what you're reading. Yeah, I'm reading this. And I pull out, or maybe I'm reading my Bible, and I say, I'm reading my Bible. And it's not to... I'm reading my Bible. It's not that. But what a great opportunity. And he comes upon this man, and he hears him reading. And then the third point, as it was up on the slide earlier, he is obedient to the Spirit's instruction. He goes there, and he joins himself, and he asks him, what are you reading? Hey, do you know what's interesting about this? Philip's got good ears. Philip really has good ears. When you consider and see exactly what is going on here, because it's the Holy Spirit of God who is going to lead and direct. Look at the verses of scripture from the Gospel of John in a number of places where it's the Holy Spirit of God who is going to direct and guide and lead us when it comes to ministry, when it comes to witnessing, and so forth. And he's sensitive to the Spirit of God's working. He's obedient to the ministry working and direction. But he's also a good listener. It's on the slide following where it says this. The angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, and he arose and went. So he had to listen and hear. Down further, he heard the man reading Isaiah. And the Spirit said unto Philip, and Philip ran and heard And he's sad. The Ethiopian says to him, Philip's hearing spiritually is pretty keen. He's keen to the Spirit of God's speaking to him, the heavenly messenger, but he's also keen to those around him. You know something? There are times I think we get so busy and so caught up in our own schedules and our own demands and our own wants and our own things, we don't hear what's going on around us. We don't hear where people are. We don't hear maybe if someone asks a question, it just... Because sometimes when people speak, they're sharing part of their heart, sharing a situation, sharing without being specific a need. They need somebody to listen. How well are we listening? Number one, how well are we listening to God? So when the Word of God is being read or when the Word of God is being preached, how well are we listening? And then when the Spirit of God is working in our hearts and directing us towards ministry to other people, how well are we listening? And even what is going on around us, even observing. So Philip is sent to share the gospel. He's sensitive to the Lord's direction. He's observant to the Ethiopian situation. And he's obedient to the Spirit's instruction. Look at the second point that happens here. Number two, Philip is set to explain the gospel, the good news. You get to verse number 30 and the second part of it. In essence, do you understand what you're reading? Now, I don't know if he detected from this Ethiopian eunuch that there was some perplexity, maybe some confusion. Well, the man obviously didn't understand because look what he says. How can I understand? Because someone has to guide me. I need somebody to direct me because this holy book, this spiritual book, really does need some spiritual discernment and spiritual explanation. And he desired, he asked, he wanted Philip to come up and sit with him. Philip next. He's very accurate with the scriptures. Very accurate. Because when he asked him, do you understand? He's not just asking, do you academically attain this? Does this information resonate with you? But what he's asking, now this is key. He's asking if he especially comprehends it as it personally applies to him. Because he's reading the scripture. He's reading Isaiah. That you could read it to know it. And I'll use the word experientially for lack of better terms. And so what we find here is he's asking, do you know what is being said for you? And that's where the man is. It's an obvious no. You know, you're going to come across people who really don't understand or comprehend or know what the Bible is saying. And that could be in a lot of areas. Creation. That could be when it comes to, obviously, salvation, church, family, money. There are going to be people who may not have an understanding. They may not have ever read the Bible. It was a real sad thing, even in a vacation Bible school not too long ago. I can't remember if it was this year or the year before, where there were some young people who, what's a Bible? What's a Bible? You know, if you have to ask the question, what is a Bible, then it's very highly likely that you don't know what's in the Bible. And that's where we are in our world today. And you're going to see in a few statistics later that we can help people to understand it. And even though he is a foreigner, he's a Gentile, he's a high ranking, he's a powerful royal official, it didn't intimidate him, didn't embarrass him, didn't scare him, because the Lord directed him right to this person specifically. This is an opportunity that God gave to me. And the common ground is the salvation message is right in front of him. Philip knows it. The Ethiopian is reading it. And I pray that we show an interest in these type of people. You know, sometimes God will bring people across your path. And sometimes we may be too busy, or we may be preoccupied, or whatever, we may miss them. That's why the sensitivity. And that's why even praying, that we may have those opportunities and be able to take advantage of them. He says, how shall I know unless somebody guides me? So he desired, you know, the word desired. It's the same word for Holy Spirit, parakaleo. It's a compound word. It has the idea of call alongside. He extends the invitation. Would you come up into my chariot? Would you come into my space? And that he would explain it. Then he asked the question. Look what he says here. He said, how can I? He desired Philip to come up. Verse 32, the place of the scripture where he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opening not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare this generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray you, of whom does this prophet speak? Of himself or some other man? So this eunuch, he has some comprehension of, he's talking about somebody, but I don't know who it is. Boy, that's a great question. How does Philip respond? Verse number 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, began at the same scripture, preached unto him Jesus. You know, Philip at this point had ears open and kind of mouth kind of closed. Now he goes mouth open and he shares Jesus. You know, I think there are some times in our lives where sometimes our mouths are open too much and our ears are closed too often. And I think in Philip's case here, he sees him, he recognizes the Spirit of God works, and then he preaches unto him Jesus. By the way, the word preach, one of the favorite words of Luke. 54 times this word is used in the New Testament. Over half by Luke in his gospel and volume 2 in the book of Acts. And it really does mean to preach the good news. The same word that is used in Luke chapter 2 when the angel said, I come unto you with good tidings of great joy. That's the same word. It's the idea of the good news. He preached salvation. He proclaimed Jesus. And it says he preached Jesus. One of Luke's usages comes at the very end of Jesus' ministry, where Jesus himself says in Luke chapter 24 in verse number 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Don't think Philip would have been possibly present here, but he knew this, that every person should hear the message of salvation in Jesus. By the way, there is no other way to heaven. There's no other way to God. How many have heard the adage, all roads lead to Rome, all religions lead to God? That's a lie, because all religions do not lead to God. Some religions will lead you straight to hell. The only way, Jesus says, John chapter 14, I am the way, not a way. The truth, not a truth. The life, specific. No man comes unto the Father but by me. He's not preaching and saying that arrogantly. He is saying that lovingly and graciously because that's what God said. And so Philip is doing exactly what Jesus said. And Philip is preaching Jesus, proclaiming the word of God. May I share a statistic with you? When you consider, in the past 6 months, how many times did you share with someone how to become a Christian? This is a Lifeway poll. 55%, zero. One or two times, 24%. That means of believers, and I'm not sure all of this, but all I know is this. If that is true of us, then that means 3 out of 4 of us sitting here have not shared the gospel message of salvation with anybody more than one or two times in the last 6 months. With Christmas just passed, Easter approaching, sharing Jesus Christ, and in a world where a lot of people are frustrated and confused and angry and troubled, the hope for them is the same hope that Philip gave to this Ethiopian eunuch, Jesus. Well, it also implies that if Philip is going to declare Jesus, he must have a working knowledge of the Scriptures in order to do so. Can I share with you another statistic? If you are listening to the Bible on audio, CD, whatever, this is an outdated slide, it's about 76 hours of just normal, natural reading. It takes about 76 hours, and you divide that by 365 days, 12 and a half minutes per day, and you will hear the Bible in 1 year. Go another direction in the reading of the Scriptures. If you read 3.5 chapters per day, you will read through the entire Bible in a year. Why do I give these statistics? Because if you're going to help people like an Ethiopian eunuch, or like Simon, which he addressed last week in our passage, or the Samaritans who had a whole different religious system, you and I need a good comprehensive knowledge of the Scriptures, and it doesn't come by osmosis. Wouldn't you love if you put this under your pillow at night and you lay on it, and all of a sudden in the morning, all that is going to happen, you wake up, wow, wouldn't that be great? We're living in an instant gratification society. You go to your doctor, I need a Bible pill. Can you please give me a Bible pill so that I take this pill and it's going to just make me biblically knowledgeable? No, we earn the wisdom in the old-fashioned way. Now this goes back to a Smith Barney commercial. Remember Smith Barney? We earn money the old-fashioned way, or we get money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. Folks, listen. Philip and us, we have a lot in common. We're instruments, we're messengers in God's hands. But in order to be effective, like Philip, sensitive to the Spirit of God, knowledgeable of the Scriptures, and he preached Jesus. Number two, he is not only accurate, but he's active in a believer's discipleship. Look at verse 36 with me. As they went on their way, so the chariot continues, they're going, they came onto a certain water. The eunuch, he says to Philip, see, here's water, what hinders me from being baptized? Baptism, somewhere along the line, what Philip did was incorporate with this gospel message of salvation, Jesus Christ being your Savior, to baptism, whereas the public confession and the profession of your faith before others that you have Jesus as your personal Savior. He connected that together. Or this Ethiopian eunuch, because he just came down from Jerusalem, what happened in Jerusalem, if this is Acts chapter 2, closely related, and how long he was in Jerusalem, when he saw that, and those who gladly received his word were baptized, same day added unto them 3,000 souls. He must have had a familiarity with baptism, either through Philip or what he saw back in Jerusalem. And he asked, hey, why can't I be now baptized? Look at what Philip does. He says in verse 37, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So as they were going away, he was wondering, what is going to help me? What is going to keep me from being baptized? By the way, let me ask you a question. When you share the gospel message of salvation, entrance into heaven, are you also including some of the other portions and pieces of the gospel, which means public confession of that? Baptism. Discipleship. Because when you think of baptism, you think about what Jesus himself had said. Because with baptism, that's exactly what is happening. I believe it's the next slide, Tim. Where what you see is this man, he's asking. But look what Philip says. If you believe with all your heart. Now the if there is not a hypothetical. The if there is a declaration of reality. And it can be translated this way, since. So what Philip is saying is this. Now catch this for a moment. Baptism is not what is going to take away your sin. Baptism doesn't remove your sin. Baptism doesn't save your soul. Baptism is administered after you are saved. Baptism is done upon your profession. You know Jesus Christ as Savior. The reason that there is baptism is the verses from Romans chapter 6, Acts chapter 2, plus then what it says, even in further along with the Great Commission of Matthew 28. You see, baptism happens after salvation. We learned this with the message 2 weeks ago. And when he answered, "I believe you are the Son of God," this is not just a declaration that he understands here. When he says, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God," he's identifying that everything that Jesus is and has come to be when it comes to Savior, "I believe he is the Son of God. He came from heaven. I believe he lived this life. I believe he died on the cross. I believe he resurrected from the grave." Everything about Jesus Christ, I believe it. But not just here as a mental understanding. He says, "Yeah, personal." Let me ask you a question. You're sitting here, you're watching us through live stream. Have you come to this place in your life where if you were asked the question about your salvation, your eternal destination, would you be able to say, "Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, the Lamb of God, the Redeemer"? Have you accepted that and made that your own? To the point that you know for sure beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved, your sins are forgiven? You can know that. Turn with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And look at what we see. Go to the next chapter or the next book of the Bible. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. And here's in essence what is being said by this eunuch. And what needs to be said by any who comes to faith in Jesus Christ and becomes saved, becomes a Christian. And so what we find, Romans 10, verse 9, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Down in verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Two things. One, if you've not done that yet, thank God you can. Number two, have you been sharing that with others? God may bring others into your life. This is what you need to share with them, like Philip did. And then, well, let's go on. They went down into the water, chariot stopped. They enter the water, which is sufficient enough for immersion, because immersion is the mode that's acceptable in practice, and the word itself pictures the new believer's union in death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And then it ends up, verse number 39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip. Eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Can you imagine this eunuch? I mean, first of all, you have this guy run up to him on the chariot out of nowhere. And he shares with him this wonderful good news of salvation. And then he says, "Can I get baptized?" You go down in the water, you get baptized. As soon as you come up out of the water, where'd he go? I mean, he vanished. The verb that is used for he left, he went away, is the same word for rapture. He was instantaneously gone. And so what does the eunuch do? He gets back in his chariot, and look at it. He goes away rejoicing. He is so delighted at this transformed life, this new life that he has. He is now a believer. He is now a Christian. His sins have been forgiven. He's on his way to heaven. And from Gaza all the way down to Egypt, this man is thrilled with new life in Christ. He said he didn't see Philip anymore. Well, you know what? Philip was instrumental, but the Lord Jesus Christ is supreme and preeminent. Oh, folks, I pray that when we sing our songs, it is wonderful to be a Christian. We're rejoicing in that. And he goes no more. So where's Philip? Verse 40. You know, you talk about Philip. He's in Samaria. He's leading a great evangelistic effort. Lost souls are being saved. Then he's dealing with Simon the sorcerer. And then the Spirit of the Lord tells him to go down to one individual. And then the Spirit of the Lord takes him and he plants him north in Azotus, which is the old Philippine city of Ashdod. Maybe another 10, 15 miles up the road. And what is he doing there? Verse 40. Philip was found in Azotus, or Ashdod, passing through them, preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Philip the evangelist, he found people to talk to. He recognized the plight of lost souls. And I don't believe Philip was doing this because he wanted any applause or wanted any approval by people. He was submissive to the Spirit of God's working. He was sharing the gospel message of salvation. And he was giving glory to God for the life that was being transformed through salvation in Jesus Christ. By the way, are you still rejoicing? I've been saved now over 50 some years. And it gets gooder and gooder. It is so... I'm disappointed we're not going to have evening services tonight. So pray for my wife. I might preach to her. But you know, this is what it's about. We come to the church services because we know Jesus, and there's a peace, and there's a security, and there's a hope. There are a lot of people who don't have that hope, that peace, and that security. Two things as we're finishing up this morning. One, are you sensitive and are you open to the Spirit of God's directing and using you as a mouthpiece to share this gospel message of salvation? And in doing so, are you equipped? Do you know the scriptures? Would you be able to share from Isaiah? Would you be able to share from Romans? Share with a lost soul how they can have peace with God, a relationship with God, a home in heaven, their sins forgiven. Second and lastly, once more, if you're here today and you're not yet saved, you don't know for sure. If you were to die today, we don't want that to happen. But you know something? I have no guarantee. I only live 2 miles down the road. I have no guarantee I'm going to get there alive. But I know this. If I don't get there alive, I will be in heaven. Not because I'm a pastor. Not because I'm some good guy or a good husband. That's debatable. All these other things. I will be in heaven because Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord, who's forgiven my sin and saved my soul. If you're here today and you're not sure of that, behold, today, now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of being together this morning. Lord, as the snow falls outside, we're reminded from the book of Isaiah that while our sins are as red as crimson and as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Thank you for what you've done in providing so great a salvation. And thank you, Lord, for the people that you brought into our lives who could share with us the good news of the gospel. Help us to be carrying your message, your gospel, to those around us. And help us, Lord, to develop a good working knowledge of the scriptures so we can help others answer questions, share them, Jesus. And I pray, Lord, also, you help us to share with them what baptism means and all these other elements. A lot in here, Lord. And while our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, may I ask you a question? Did this message kind of speak to you and point you out, so to speak? Maybe you're here and you say, I need to be more sensitive to the Spirit of God's working. I'm so caught up in all things in life, I'm not listening. Or I need to be observant to what's going on with other people around me. Or I need to have a more scriptural understanding so I can help people in the Word of God. Pastor, that's me. The Spirit of God has spoken to my heart. Would you pray with me that these areas in my life would be indeed brought to bear, that I would be equipped, that I'd be sensitive, I'd be listening? Here's my hand. Would you pray for me? Just lift it up, put it right back down. Yes, 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 yes. Now, maybe you're here, you're not yet saved. If you would die today, you don't have a confident assurance you're going to heaven. May I pray for you? Just lift your hand right where you are. Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure. I want to know.
I want that peace that passes understanding. I want to have a relationship with God. I want to know for sure I'm going to heaven. Here's my hand. Pray for me. Just lift it up, right back down. Pastor, that's me. Pray for me. Father, we yield these requests to you with thanksgiving. Commit each one to you for your working in those lives and for their letting you work and doing the work. And I pray as a result, we'd hear lost souls being saved, disciples being made to the praise of your glory. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. I trust it has been a blessing to your heart. As mentioned at the beginning of this recording, let me take the opportunity to share with you how you can know God personally by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've not done so already. Thankfully, God reveals in the Bible that you can have the absolute confidence, a full assurance of eternal life in heaven. I invite you to click on the Salvation tab on the homepage and read the gospel message, or call me at the church office at 908-788-2672 to talk about God's gift of eternal life. Also, we welcome you to visit any of our services here at Heritage Baptist Church at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, just off State Highway 12 in Flemington, New Jersey. Sunday school for all ages begins at 9:30 a.m., followed by our morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. Our evening service is at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday prayer time, Bible study, and children's ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thanks again, and have a great day for His glory, honor, and praise.